Moving into the barriers, Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Set and underway for Moody on the mic.
Welcome back to Moody on the mic with the man himself, Peter Moody. I'm Roger Aldridge, not Peter Moody. Joining me is Anthony Mithen and the resident Rain Man, Tom Hackett, both who were here last week, but the man himself, who the podcast is named after, was not. And we had a delightful 45 minutes, Mood. So I don't know whether I should say welcome back or not, but you're here.
So you didn't make it Catherine on the mic, eh? I hear say that Mytho was pushing strongly for Mytho on the mic, but it's great to see you survived 1 week without me, team. 1 week. We've been without everyone except you and I, Rog. With Rain Man, he's a little bit of a special child. He's the first one ever to have children. Mytho, well, he's just a juvenile delinquent going on 55. But you and I have been the mainstays, Rog, but you had to survive without me. That was well done, team. I'm proud of you. I'm like a big, proud grandfather. You got through the week without me.
Yeah, I'm the only person now that has done 100% of the Moody on the Mic episodes, but I did receive some legal papers during the week from Mytho's lawyers asking why Mytho on the Mic was not used as the name and why we did go in favour of Catherine Coleman and Coleman on the Mic. So, Mytho, I'll get my lawyers to talk to your lawyers.
Well, it is written into my my contract with Ladbrokes that in the unusual event that PG Moody does not appear on Moody on the Mic, the show shall be rebranded Mytho on the Mic. And as such, you're in breach of contract and my lawyers will talk to your lawyers.
You know, I don't think we need to engage the lawyers, to be honest. I mean, I'll just get Moods to leave a voicemail for your lawyers. And I would imagine they'll just go running scared from there.
I wondered who was going to be first to bring it up.
Children.
Peter, what were you thinking? Putting it out there on public record. I'm jockey bake of all bake. In fact, it was actually only a B-grade bake, to be fair.
He does it on the podcast every week. I don't know what people are worried about.
It made the Channel 9 news. That Moods has had a bit of a spray and got a bit grumpy about a ride in a race. Like, what has the world come to? This clickbait mentality that we're in. I mean, gee whiz. I've got worse from Peter on this show.
We know.
On a weekly basis.
It was piss funny, though.
Well, yeah, listen, it was. But it's disappointing when you do things. Like, we do this show expecting and hoping people will listen to us. I do those reports hoping 10 owners will listen to it, but not then put it out in a public platform. That's I thought that was pretty ordinary form. But hey, when you do those things...
So you've sacked the owners? You've sacked the owners now?
Well, listen, I had a discussion with the managing owner and decided that we didn't have, there was a lack of trust and suggested that the horse would be best placed elsewhere. Yes.
I did see on Racing Australia the horse has been transferred to the Melbourne Cup winning stable of Kieran Maher and David Eustace.
You know what I love, Rog? I love that even when apologising for a spray, he's giving someone else a spray. You just can't help yourself, Peter, can you? You cannot help yourself.
Well, listen, you got to move on.
I saw the tweet and thought, I am all here for the replies to this. I want to see who's on Pete's side, who's not. Me and Rayman were at a wedding on Saturday night, and Rayman, one of the first things he says, we haven't seen him for bloody 18 months in person, goes, mate, I've got to play you this voicemail. It is all time.
I got it nice and early in the day, and I was just hoping that it wouldn't get out into the public domain proper until the podcast this week. But let alone, I wake up on Sunday afternoon, there's Moody's face everywhere again, as it seems to be most weekends now, causing trouble. But, you know, he's the clicks that Peter Moody generates. Obviously, we take advantage of it at Ladbroke with this very podcast. But
this is the basis of this show.
Yeah, that's the reason. It's the reason why we have an agreement with Moods, basically. But the clicks that Moods must drive to punters.com.au, RaceNet, it's all Moody all the time, and they can't get enough of it, the general public. They just want more Moody. So I think this could be the start of something where every week We have to get Moody's best bake of the week. Because even Jamie Carr was talking about it on the Channel 7 coverage. This is before everything with Blake blew up. She was talking about the best spray she ever caught from a trainer. And she said it came from Moods. He rang her up. He said, Jamie, that was the worst I've ever seen you ride a horse. I'll see you tomorrow. And she said he wasn't angry. He was just disappointed. And Jamie remembers that to this day. So,
Well, that's because it was last week.
Yeah. It's only a few weeks ago.
It was kind of lightning, but she's still lingering over it, Jamie.
Well, listen, we move on. That's the one thing about
you. No, we don't.
We'll
move on when we're ready, Peter.
Move on from the spray. We're not moving on yet. We're going to milk this for all it's
worth. I want to know what. So you've spoken to Blake, obviously. Come on, tell it. How'd that go? Once he heard the message,
because. He's an affable young man. He's a good bloke, and they all know I have my say, and we move on. We get on because we've all got a job to do.
So get it off your chest. He's ridden work for you this week?
No, he hasn't. He hasn't. He was down at Shooter's Ditch somewhere on Tuesday.
He would normally, yeah, and he will be going forward.
Yeah, I'd say he will, yeah, for sure. I don't know. He hasn't come back yet. No. Actually, he was going to ride one of my horses on Saturday, but we didn't accept with it, actually. But, he's had good success for the team. He took the spray on board. The disappointing thing in those things when it goes, and on a serious note, when it goes out in the public arena, is it creates hurt, not so much for us as the combatants, but the people around you, whether it's family or children or mums or dads or whatever. They think, oh, you know, and that's the disappointment of those sort of things going out in the public area. So anyhow, I had a chat to Blake. We shook hands over the phone, basically. We haven't seen one another face-to-face because I've been in New Zealand looking at horses, and we've moved on. And, happy days. Happy days. I know you three will want to milk it in every way.
I've got one more question, Peter. So when you send a voicemail to an owner, regardless of what it is, you prefer the owners don't send those voicemails on. The owner reports for Saturday morning.
Well, I send them to them. I suppose they're their property. I don't know. I don't know what the legalities of it are. Do you need to put a disclaimer? Like, I receive a lot of information that comes through to me saying this is dot on the bottom. And I think it's illegal to move it on. Maybe I need to put that on the bottom of your voicemails. I don't know.
I was just wondering because you might have to have a word to Mitho and just explain that, those owner reports, don't forward them on to Roger on a Saturday morning, okay? Don't do that, Anthony.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, but that's just information-based. That's not having a laugh at someone else's expense. And I might put the full stop on this because I did, Peter, unbeknownst to you, I have approached Blake to join us on today's show, just to have a little chin wag and thrash it out. And I wasn't entirely sure, couldn't get him on the phone, so I texted him, and I wasn't entirely sure that how well that would be received. But I've just got the reply, as we speak right now, I've just got the reply. And this is the type of bloke Blake McDougall is. I'm at ballet lessons for the next hour, mate. Maybe the next show.
There you go.
So he's on next week, Blake, and it sounds like you're right for track work next Tuesday morning, Moods, too.
And he's working on his balance and his ballet club.
There you go. Well, he's off with his family, more importantly, and good on him for not stepping outside the ballet class and talking to a gig like Mitho on this show. He's spending time, I would presume, with his daughter, but that would be the wrong thing to suggest. It could be his son, I don't know, at ballet classes.
And so that means next week we'll have Jamie Carr and Blake McDougall, but I've got a feeling Moods is in Japan.
I'm getting close to a little trip to Japan. I think I'm here next week, aren't I? And maybe the week later I'm away. So you'll have to have your second Moody on the mic without me because, no, you won't be getting me on the phone from Japan, I wouldn't think.
Maybe next week will be the season finale. Maybe we just do it out. We go out in style with Moods. We get Jamie on. We get Blake on. We have a nice little round table, sing kumbaya.
Maybe we should get Terry Bailey on as well and see if we can sort that whole thing out, if we're really going full ball with a bit of smoking peace pipes.
Rain Man, climb back into your closet up there. Bloody hell. Now, listen, life goes on. Say your piece and get on with life.
Did you get fined, Moods? Did you get fined? Do we need to hand the hat around, the Ladbrokes, the famous Ladbrokes hat, and get you out of a little fine here? Or,
well, I've had an interview with Mr. Robert Cram, the chief steward, and I would imagine he'll be catching up with me a bit later in the week.
Should we send a shout out to Mr. Robert Cram? Because I happen to know he's a listener of this show. I'm pretty sure he only listens, so he knows what he can find you for.
Yeah, because it pays for the Racing Victoria Stewards Christmas party.
Yeah, well, I've paid for that a few times over, don't worry. So, listen, we move on, boys. Send me peace, move on. The horses moved on, the owners have moved on, the jockey's moved on. He's gone to ballet classes. Maybe he should take Mytho with him.
Everyone's happy.
Everyone's happy. Everyone's happy. Everyone's a winner. And we need to get on with finding people winners this weekend.
Here we have a mate dedication from Cam to Eddie. Over to you, Cam.
Thanks, champ. This is for my best mate, Eddie. He backed the rough in our pot and it got up for the lads.
Great stuff. And don't forget to Ladbroke it together this spring carnival with Mates Mo.
Thank you.
T's and C's apply and available on website. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
As we know, Moody on the Mic is the home of pop-up love. And there's no greater pop-up than when Anthony Mithen's got a runner, and he's got a runner in the gong, and it's one of our favourites here on Moody on the Mic. No, it's not Way to Go Paula being tipped for the 18,000th time. It's the gong, the time on a gong, Ray, man. What is the market? Because I had a squeeze earlier, and Promise of Success was a massive outsider.
Well, I think the punters have identified that Promise of Success is a pop-up race specialist. Bolted in, very impressive in invitation, ran in a real race on Melbourne Cup Day, didn't like it. Back to a pop-up race now. She's been $18 into $14, the early market mover with Ladbrokes. Old Flame's the favourite. It's $6. It was a winner on Derby Day. Brutality's there at $8. Rustic Steel, $8.50. Hope in Your Heart, $8.50. Riadini, $9.50. A bit like the Hunter last week, and this race is even more open than the Hunter. It's a very, very open affair, a very competitive race. You can make a case for quite a few horses here, and I'm surprised to be saying it, but I'm backing a horse that has Little Dance form. Steely, who ran a really good third in the Little Dance in Sydney on Melbourne Cup Day before that, has been racing well without winning this preparation, but it's a horse that's got a really good record at Kembla Grange. 3 wins from 6 starts at the track, and it's a horse that can...
Lucky it didn't fall in the crack.
And it's a horse that can spike a high rating on its day. So on a really open affair, I'm backing Steely to come out a little dance here. $20 to win, $6 a place, each way all day, as Peter Moody would say.
Well, it's third emergency in the race, Steely, so you must have some inside mail on the belief that it's going to get a run.
I am confident we'll get a start. There are a few horses above it in the order of entry that are dual acceptances. So I'm hoping that Steely does get in.
All right, we've hit ballet, we've hit Little Dance. It's a real different theme that we've got going on this edition of Moody on the Mic. Not our usual areas. You know what? It is an open race, Ray Mamet. And to be honest, I found it hard to go past Old Flame, who hasn't really put a foot wrong in his reasonably short career. Got a shit draw, hasn't won yet at the mile, but there's no horse in this race that you can't make a good enough case against that you could make four. So with that, looking at it, I just think, well, he's the best horse in the race. He's going to need luck, but, I'm not overly keen to bet here. For the sake of a tip, then I'm going to go with what I believe is the best horse in the field, and that's Old Flame ahead of Rustic Steel.
Yeah, I just can't work out the price of Promise of Success. I really thought that she would come up sort of $4 favourite, and maybe I'm kidding myself, but she won that invitation really handsomely. She went to Melbourne Cup Day and was up the inside, which was poison, and could not get off the rail. As much as Kieran tried to get off the rail, he just couldn't find a path, and they kept him down there, and she was never comfortable and couldn't lengthen, and it was quicksand down there. And she's got a little bit of weight, but she's also the highest rated runner by several points in this race. So the $14 seems luxurious sort of odds, I would have thought, from the Ladbrokes team. So the worry was the draw with the weight. We ended up drawing two. I thought the pre-post betting had her about $15. I thought once she was into two and that eliminated that that problem, she'd be sort of into half those odds, but she actually drifted out and is now back into $14. So I can't give you any stronger push for her than that. I think she'll go there and get the good smother, the Kieran McAvoy peach of a ride, and she'll win.
And that race on Melbourne Cup Day as well, Mitho, was run at an absolute farcical tempo as well. Promise of success. You can legitimately put the pen through that run. And if you do that, you're coming off a last start winning the invitation. You should be around the $6 fighting for favoritism mark. So I definitely agree. Promise of success well and truly over the odds.
Yeah, well, I can't disagree with you there, Mitho. I think you're an excellent chance in the race. But I've got the Victorian visitor, Just Folk, scratched down here last week to be reserved for this race. Unfortunately, he's come up with the car park, but I reckon he'll go forward and put himself in a prominent position. Jared Fry, he's riding on a wave at the moment, and the Victorians have got a bit of pop-up form lately. They've won the Everest, they've won the Eagle, and now we're looking for the gong. So I'm
and the invitation. Julius
and it's Victorian-owned, Randwick-trained. It was a 50-50, that one.
Oh, so it's just trainers that make it Victorian, is it? Oh, sorry. Sorry for...
No, didn't I say 50-50? I said it's a bit shared. You've got it domiciled in New South Wales, haven't you, Anthony?
Well, who owns Old Show Win? It's not owned by Victorian.
Kiwis.
Yeah, well, it's not a Victorian horse there.
50-50, righto. Well, build a bridge and move on,
pay
mate.
Some respect.
Build a bridge and move on.
I wonder if everyone wants to find you.
Oh, fair dinkum. Righto, so I'm thinking Just Folk will beat Steely because Steely probably won't even get a run in the race because not too many people scratch out $1 million races without an issue. And I'm nearly hoping it beats Promise of Success by a short half head now.
I just go and get Folk.
Exactly.
Just Folk might want a bit of rain on the horizon. She's going to be a dry one up there, I think, unfortunately, because it'd be good news for Josh Julius and co. Let's move down. Somewhere we might get a bit of rain because they don't mind a bit of rain in the Rat. And the Ballarat Cup, Rayman, is another reasonably open affair.
Yeah, a tissue is the early favourite, Roger, horse that is accepted in the gong. It comes off the Matriarch Stakes, $6.
Come on, a tissue.
$40. Banker's Choice, second line of betting at $4.60. Long Villiers for Chris Waller, $6. And you've got double figure odds the rest here. The market could change if a tissue does go to the Kembla Grange for the gong, but I'm pretty keen here on Banker's Choice here at $4.60. Hasn't won for a while, but its form this preparation is terrific. Was second behind My Oberon in the Crystal Mile, who then went into the Champions Mile right there, very hard in the market. And last start in the Champion Stakes at a big price. It's run a really good sixth and was a bit unlucky not to finish probably at least fifth, but probably unlucky enough to finish top four, Banker's Choice. It took a long time to get out. When it did get a run, it finished just as strongly alongside Tom Melbourne, who we know has got a fair turn of foot. And like Tom Melbourne would... not Tom Melbourne. I'm Thunderstruck.
Jesus Christ, I was thinking, hang on, have I gone back in time here?
Sorry, apologies to I'm Thunderstruck. That's almost defamatory to mix him up with poor
and
old
Tom Melbourne. Wouldn't finish fifth, mate. He'd finish second.
Yeah, exactly right. But it finished alongside I'm Thunderstruck, Banker's Choice. Drawn barrier one, should have every possible chance in the run here. I think this is its chance to win a big race. And Michael Moroney, the stable is absolutely flying. And I think he can win another big one in the Ballarat Cup on Saturday.
Yeah, I've lined up the exact same way, Rayman. I think as good as that win in the Matriarch was for its issue, the Champion Stakes form's going to be the form. And also... drops 2 kilos, whereas a tissue rolls around with 57 on as it did with that win at Flemington. So Banker's Choice will be banking the cash in Ballarat on Saturday night.
Banker's Choice. Well, I'm going to tip one at reasonable odds here each way. I didn't mind the run of Cirilio Miss in that Matriarch Stakes. It did all the lug work out in front. You know, came around the bend. You'd think it had every reason to puncture and fade out of it. But, held on and kept on giving and with a perhaps an easier run. It's had a go at Ballarat once before, ran second, so it knows the track. And she's a pretty good mare. She's a Group 3 winning mare, and Simon Wilde wouldn't be pressing on if the right thing was to go to the paddock. Back to 54 kilos. I like this filly or mare a bit, and I reckon you can back her each way at about $15, Rayman, I reckon.
Yeah, $15 to win, $4.40 the place at the moment.
Yeah, it's really a miss each way for me in the Ballarat Cup.
I'm with Tissue is at the favourite, Rayman. Sorry, I missed what you said there earlier.
Yeah, Tissue is the favourite at $4.40.
Yeah, well, I think that's pretty good shopping. He's just shy of each way odds. Drawn to get a good run, D. Oliver. I think it wins if it takes its place there. Pineapple for the multiples team for me.
Okay, the Pineapple might be coming out over in Perth, I've got a feeling, because we are not experts on WA racing, but Rayman certainly has a look at the form in depth everywhere. Rayman, give us a look at the market for the Group 1 Railway over there in the West.
Yeah, speak for yourself, Rog. I'm an expert in all racing. Alaskan God is the favourite here. It's
$4. Modest, too.
$4.20. Tricks of the Trade, $5. Early support for Carly's Karma, $8 into $6.50. There are horses from the eastern states racing in the Perth Summer Carnival this year, thankfully, so we can avoid another fine for Peter Moody. Ironclad is $10. Treasured Star, William Pike, looking to make history in the Railway Stakes, is $10. Not often you get double figures for a William Pike-ridden horse in the Railway Stakes. But as you said, Roger, it is an extremely open race. You can make a case for a lot of horses here. And the horse I've landed on has drawn poorly, but I think it can run a big race each way here. And that's number 11, last of the line. $17 to win, $5 to place. Hasn't had much luck in any of its race starts this preparation, but drops in weight quite substantially. It was fourth in the RJ Peters last start. Dropped 6 kilos from that, where it didn't have much luck. Had no luck in running the Asian Bow Stakes before that as well. But in the earlier this year, it was racing really well. So if it can recapture its best form, get some luck in running from that wide barrier draw, it can be right in the race there. But it's an incredibly open affair. And you can another race where you can make a case for half a dozen, if not more.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend to know a huge amount about the Perth racing, but then again, if you're sitting here and waiting for me, for my tips to follow me, and you're an idiot. Alaskan God made a terrific start to his career. While his last start first, that run of 1400, and you see a 6 there, geez, he wasn't too far off. And I'm guessing that was a pipe opener, and this was the mission second up. He was WA Derby winner, so this campaign, it does look like he's setting his sights a bit lower than those Derby-style trips. Carly's Karma second, beating a lip in that Lee Steer. Looks the obvious danger to mine. And interesting to note, there's been some early money for it. So I might have a little bit on both and hopefully get a win. So Alaskan God from Carly's Karma for mine.
Well, look, Ironclad. I reckon Will Clarkin knows what he's doing here. The quick pack-up from Cranbourne Cup last Saturday, flight over and the rest. If this horse has handled the trip and done it on the bit, I reckon dropping to 53 kilos is the key to this horse. On the conditions of the race, I can't recall this horse racing with that sort of weight on its back in its career here in Australia. So I reckon it won't know itself as long as it handles that travel and the quick backup. So Ironclad, I'm backing on Will Clark and knowing what he's doing here. And he's a very gifted horse. He's a very good looking horse too. And he's related to a horse that Moods has a bit of an opinion of, Gates, a Frankel colt that he bought out of the Rosemont draft earlier this year and put in the Wiley Dalziel colours. So I'll be barracking for Ironclad at better than each way odds, isn't he, Rayman?
Yeah, Ironclad, you're getting $11 at the moment, Mitho.
Yeah, that'll do.
They're very hard when you don't follow these horses quite often. The top one, Restore Man, unproven at the trip, drawn to get a soft run, B. Rewilla. He's probably the most consistent horse there. Got good respect for Dan Morton's horse, Alaskan God. Parnham rode the top one last start, Restore Man. Do we read anything into that? Alaskan God built up a hell of a record sort of last preparation. So I think it's between the 1 and 7 for me without a lot of confidence, I've got to be honest.
Spring racing is in the air, so why not multiply the excitement with a Ladbrokes Same Race Multi? To build a Same Race Multi, head to your chosen race, find the Same Race Multi tab, and pick 2 to 4 runners to finish anywhere inside the top 4. Combine multiple runners from the same race to get even greater odds, and get the best Same Race Multi coverage with more races than ever before. Spring racing is in the air. Ladbroke it! T's and C's apply. See website for details. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Rightio, best bets. Moody on the mic. Ray Man, take the new ball.
I'm going to Ascot Rodge, race 7, number 15, Amelia's Jewel. The Railway Stakes is a feature in Perth, but the most exciting horse on the card is Amelia's Jewel. She could be anything, this filly. She's been set for the Northerly Stakes, which is the old Kingston Town Stakes. So she's had two starts this preparation. She just got the job done first up, was beaten second up, but I think she's ready to fire now in the WA Guineas, following a similar path to a horse like Arcadia Queen, who she does have a very similar profile to. So if she is anywhere near as good as what Simon Miller and basically anyone associated with Western Australian racing, she'll be winning the WA Guineas. You're getting better than even money at the moment. I think she's the best bet of the day. That's race 7, number 15, Amelia's Jewel.
Did some of the gloss come off her last start, Ray? Man, I thought she got beaten fair and square. She was just expected to bolt up at about $1.50.
Yeah, she did get beaten last start, though, but I think it was all about, Simon Miller said this whole preparation that he hasn't had her at peak fitness. It was all about getting her to that Group 1 later in the preparation over 1,800 metres. So I think that's why if she'd won that start, last start like we're expecting, she'd be $1.30 in this race. Instead, we're getting better than even money.
And had she won a last start, would have she been in the Railway Stakes and not the Guineas?
Oh, I don't think so. Simon Miller was always pretty adamant that the Guineas would be the path she'd follow, and they really are sort of similar to what they've done with those. The three-year-olds do have an outstanding record in that Kingston Town and Northerly Stakes. So just following a fairly tried and tested path that a lot of the better fillies and mares and colts in Perth have done in recent years.
Right.
You ever had a horse named after your moods? I think it's Getting Moody was getting around. Was that named after just your general demeanour for a while there? Or have you had any other horses named after you?
Not sure, Rog. Not sure.
Yeah. Because I'm going to go with race 1 at Kembla on Saturday, number 6, Lady Carr, K-A-H. And funnily enough, she's undefeated 3-year-old filly. She's 2 from 2. She's won two pretty comfortably at Goulburn. So she's heading to town to contest the Highway on Saturday, which we know highways aren't the highest rating races. But if she's got some ability, which it looks like she has got some, then I'm going to go Lady Carr, Kembla, race 1, number 6.
I could offer you a bit of value this weekend. We were pretty happy to see the colours salute at Sandown earlier today, being Wednesday afternoon, with Skinner-Wink getting the job done.
We don't discuss Wednesday winners, do we? Midweek.
We're just leading into the fact that the colours have saluted this week, and I haven't seen your colours go around and hit the post first too often this week, Peter.
No, undefeated, Anthony, undefeated. I think our last runner was
Settling one up this week, did you?
No. So, no, we don't usually discuss it. We sort of talk down Wednesday winners. Righto, but we'll let you have your moment in the sun.
I certainly didn't lead the show with it, to be fair. Mm. But nonetheless, back end of the show, thought it might have been worth mentioning the punters to follow it in the Twilight Glow on Saturday week, maybe, and watch out for early odds for the Twilight Glow. But anyway, if that's not what we're here to do, no problems. No. I'll take your advice on board, Peter. Nonetheless, we're going to spin a couple round on Saturday at Ballarat, pounding for the great Peter Moody. I'll be very interested in his comments, because clearly his thoughts are far more important than mine. So I'll leave him to tell us whether pounding will win or not. One at very big odds in the Magic Millions 3 and 4-year-old classic over 1,100 metres, the outsider Epic Centre. Now, Clayton Douglas has looked very hard and long at this race for a while and set this horse for this race. His voicemail, which I'm not allowed to send to anyone because you get in all sorts of trouble earlier this morning, was very positive about Epic Centre running a good race. And I see on Ladbrokes he's $26 and the rank outsider for that race. It is a good race, but this horse has got speed to burn. If he harnesses it and executes properly, he can run a very, very big race at the $26. So Epic Centre in race 7 at Ballarat, and my best of the day comes up in the time-honoured gong, promises success. each way to win the $1 million classic, I'm calling it.
Oh, well, my chances this weekend lie on Ballarat improving. We're a heavy eight as we make the show on Wednesday evening. We're hoping for some improvement. You would expect or hope that it'll get into the slow range without more precipitation. So wouldn't see it improving much beyond that with, what is it, 10 degrees here in Melbourne today. It's probably 3 degrees in Ballarat. I wouldn't imagine they've had a lot of drying weather. So probably a few of mine might be staying at home. One will be Diamonds in the Sky in race one. She'd have to be very doubtful. I won't run her first up on the wet. Then we move down to Pounding, as Anthony rightfully stated, in race five. He's probably the hope of the team on Saturday. I wasn't present at Trackwork Tuesday morning, but my staff were very pleased with him. Apprentice Carlene Heffel brings him in well at the weights with a good draw. Should get a nice midfieldish run. Should prove very competitive, I reckon, as he has all preparation. It's probably the best of mine for the weekend. Bit of a head-scratcher in race six. We've got Glory Bound. We took her to Flemington expecting her to be very hard to beat in the Group 2 last start, and she failed miserably. She's back here. Soft ground, 2,000 metres. I've got a few question marks there, but I need to see her bounce back. But once again, that team were very pleased with her work. So maybe don't let her get under your guard. Put her in a multiple, but hard to tip you in strongly. Then we move beyond the Ballarat Cup. And with a couple of interesting runners, we have Do Your Punk. Now, he's one that does love the wet. If he does take his place, what price there, Do Your Punk, in race nine, Rain Man, number 15?
440 is the early market move with Ladbrokes, 480 into $4.40.
Up in grade, but does love a soft track, can run well if we decide to run him. And probably my most interesting runner of the weekend is in the last race, race 10, horse number 12, Wright and Rose. Been waiting over a year to get this bloke back to the races. He hasn't had a significant injury, but he's had a heap of little injuries. And if the track gets back into the slow range, he'll probably take his place there. He's in great order and going extremely well. But probably the best of mine for the weekend, Pounding, race 5, each way in the benchmark race. Hard racing team. If you find a winner this weekend, you're going to find plenty of value. Good luck, good punting, and let's hope we can see some fast horses run fast.
Ladbroke it.